On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
And then I remember closing the door to the Winnebago and going, oh my God, it's an 8-hour drive back in a Winnebago with a bunch of hungover guys who are all partying, throwing up.
And we lost.
Yeah, I would just like to snap my fingers and be back in Ottawa.
I'm not sure what the f*** this is. I'm about to find out.
This is Tall Can Audio.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Tall Can Audio Podcast. Matt Robinson here with you in our studios in beautiful Bytown, Canada. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Can Audio, Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. Hope you'll subscribe wherever you're listening to this one. As we've mentioned a couple times leading up to this, I'm pleased to be welcoming to the show today from TSN 1200, John Rodenberg. How are you?
I am good, Matt. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Really appreciate you making a little time for us. How do things find you here this Super Bowl week? Are you you looking forward to the big game? Or
I am, actually. I think it's going to be a tremendous game, although I'm not really a guy who's going to spend the entire week kind of getting ready for the Super Bowl and breaking down every matchup. It's kind of like when Sunday rolls around, I'll be happy about that, happy to watch the game. I think it's going to be a very entertaining game, and I think it's going to be a really close game, so looking forward to it.
I want to ask you a bit about your career here. I want to ask you a bit about how things have gone down at the station through these unprecedented times, I guess, as we're calling them. I'm really looking forward to just getting back to precedented times. But before we do, what has your, you know, with it being Super Bowl week, it's normally one of the biggest weeks of the year for sports. Have you found that your excitement level for it, or, you know, your interest level, has it been where it normally is this season and heading into the big game, or has kind of the world that we're living in and the lack of fans in the stands, has it impacted kind of your enjoyment of it at all?
I have really enjoyed the football season. That being said, my favorite team is the Philadelphia Eagles, and they absolutely stunk this year. So if you're wondering, you know, if you're asking, you know, how is your enjoyment level as a fan, hasn't been very high. But I am very appreciative after having gone through all we went through since last March and we had no sports. Mm-hmm. I was more than happy to have all kinds of sports. And I'm actually surprised, shocked that the NFL was able to get through it its entire season, never end up having to miss a game. And it looks like they'll get through Super Bowl Sunday, get an entire season, which is, if you had asked me in September, I would have said no chance. So hats off to them for being able to do it.
Yeah, we're seeing it all over the place. First of all, in the summer with baseball, they had a bunch of shutdowns. Now the NBA and NHL, both a ton of postponements. I guess there was a couple of moments in the NFL season where maybe you could make the argument there should have been a postponement or two, but they did manage to get it in.
Ask the Denver Broncos, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. One of the things we do around here, as I think you're aware, and it's certainly been harder through the pandemic, is normally we like to get guests in studio for a pint, and that hasn't been able to happen. But we still like to ask people whether you're into the craft beer scene at all. Is that something that you tend to enjoy, or not really your thing?
I am. I was. I'm not as much now, only because when I started drinking too much of it, I found I put on too much weight. So, but I actually, you'd be pleased because I have in front of me now this is, we're recording this on, the 2nd of February.
Yep.
And I, have just finished up my annual Dry January.
Nice.
Yes. I'm one of the losers that does that. Well, it's a bit of a story here.
Okay.
My wife and I normally do it, when it looked like we were going to go into lockdown, which was, I don't know, around the 10th or whatever. Mm-hmm. I said to my, that was a Friday. And I said, okay, forget it. We're not going to go into lockdown and not have any beer or whatever, wine. So she said, agreed.
Yeah.
So that lasted for about a week. We kind of got back into the normal. And then it was like, well, no lockdown. So, okay. So I went back on. Mm-hmm. So I owe 8 days.
Okay.
Of dry January into February. So I got another week to get through.
Mm-hmm.
But in honor of being on your show, because I knew you love to have a pint with your guests.
Yes.
I have in my hand of what I will have next week.
Okay.
And it is from the 555 Brewery, which is, I don't know, have you had any guests?
So.
No, that's in Picton, Ontario.
Okay.
Which is down near Sandbanks, Belleville area. And this is now my nephew was in Ottawa. He lives down there. He brought up a six pack of six different brews and dropped it off at my front door, texted me and said, I dropped something off at your front door. This was a couple of weeks ago. And I looked outside and lo and behold, there it was. So
gorgeous.
I have in front of me something called The Verdict, which is a white IPA, 6.5% alcohol. So, that has February 8th written all over it.
Well, you'll have to report back to us.
Yes, that's a very for all your listeners who are either might venture down there in the summer, because that's a beautiful area down there in the county, as they call it.
Yeah,
The 555 is in Picton. It's a really, really nice spot. They have good food there too. So,
well, I went to did college in Belleville, so heading out to the county there on weekends was a big thing for a lot of people down there. And I know just in the last year or two, my parents kind of before the lockdown, they have a trailer and they had started camping down there a little bit. And I guess the area was known for having a lot of really nice wineries and stuff. And then a bunch of these craft breweries started to spring up in the area too. So yeah, pretty cool place to vacation and do some of these tours and stuff.
They got you covered no matter what you want. Wine, beer. I don't know if they could make some hard liquor. We'd be all set.
Sure. So I have in front of me, and I am going to partake. I'll tell you, I did the same thing a little bit. I told myself that during dry January, I would only have beer during the show. And then I just found myself wanting to do shows way more often than we normally do. So we were cutting quite a pace through January.
Yeah, there you go.
I have a blonde from, this is from Ridge Rock Brewing Company. And I've had a few things from there lately. And
good spot. I've had lunch there a couple of times.
Yeah. And our friend there, Michaela, she raves about the food there as well. I'd had this delivered a few different, actually I allowed her to choose the next brewery I was going to do a delivery from, and she's the one who selected Ridge Rock. So that's what I'm going with here today. The blonde, it's a little, well, bland, I guess, but that's what you'd expect out of a blonde. So no big deal there. It's early in the day, and that's what we're rolling with. Why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of your background, how you got into broadcasting and how you kind of your journey to where you are now as the grand poobah at TSN 1200.
How long do you have?
Yeah, we got
it's been a long and winding road. I've been at this a long time. I hesitate to say how long, but I'll just say I went to broadcast journalism school in at Mohawk College in Hamilton.
Right.
And when I graduated from there, when I eventually found a job, which took me, I think, 4 or 5 months, I had my first job in a small town called Tilsonburg, Ontario.
Hey,
which is,
yeah,
my back still aches when I hear that word. That's Stompin' Tom. So that is actually not far from where I actually grew up near London, Ontario. So Tilsonburg was driving distance. I could actually drive up and down for my first job for a few months until I got my feet under me and got an apartment there. But I was there for I think upwards of maybe a year and a half or so. Mm-hmm. And I was a newscaster. I actually took broadcast journalism. So that is my background, is a more of a journalism background as opposed to talk radio, because it really didn't exist back then.
Right.
From there I went to, I took a very, very short pit stop in Barrie, Ontario for like a month, when I was ready to kind of move on from Tilsonburg, which you did back in that day, and which you probably still do today for people looking to kind of get into it and then grow, is that you would, back then you would have tapes and you would just send tapes out to places you wanted to work at, and you'd just fire out like 50 at a time or whatever. And hopefully somebody heard you and liked you and, eventually hired you. And so, I fired off a bunch, and I heard back from Barrie, and they hired me. Well, literally, I was in Barrie for a week when the news director in Ottawa at what was then known as CFGO, which is still the 1200 on the dial, believe it or not, but has been many different radio stations since then. But at that point, it was just a music station with news or whatever. emailed me or phoned me and said, and we had an interview. And anyway, I got hired. So, and I got hired over another guy. It was down to me and another guy. And so I had to tell the guy in Barrie who had just hired me, it's like, sorry, man. And I know it's only been a week, but I'm giving you 2 weeks' notice.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty generous of me,
sure,
actually. Yeah. So anyway, he ends up hiring the guy that I beat out in Ottawa for the job. So it kind of worked out
there
for both
go.
Of us.
Yeah.
So I came to Ottawa, that would be 30 years ago, probably. And worked in the news game there for then what was known as Energy 1200, for any listeners who may be old enough to remember that. And did that till 1992. Went to Toronto because they started a brand new, the station owner started a brand new station in Toronto. And so that was pretty cool. Kicking a radio station off for the first time that had never been on the air. And in Toronto, the biggest market in the country was pretty neat. So
what was the frequency there?
That was 92.5. It was actually a country music station.
I remember Kiss FM, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And it had bonkers ratings. Like they marketed the you know what out of it. And I remember the first ratings book was just like, and back, well, ratings are still out there. They are very important. But back then it was worth like every ratings point would have been worth X number of millions of dollars.
Sure.
And the ratings were like double what they thought they would be.
Wow.
So
I remember those commercials for that. There was a huge launch.
Yeah.
I grew up in the GTA, so that was a big deal.
Did you get a mug? That was a big thing.
We did have a mug. I don't remember where it came from, but we did have the mug.
So they gave away like a million mugs or something like that. It was basically bribed everybody into giving it a try. And for a while, and that's when country music back in the early 90s was very hot. That was Garth Brooks and
Shania.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it was pretty popular, it ebbed and flowed. And anyway, I was there for 6 years. I kind of started as I was on the morning show, but I was the producer of the morning show and I did the sports. And then I just kind of chime in from time to time. And there was a host and a co-host. Mm-hmm. And then eventually that kind of came to an then I got a call from my boss back in Ottawa that they were going to start a sports radio station in 1998, which was at that point known as OSR, Ottawa Sports Radio, because they had just acquired the Senators' rights from CFRA. Mm. But OSR could have also stood for Ottawa Senators Radio. So they did the double there.
Right.
So they took the rights from CFRA, started a sports radio station, which at that point would have been, after the Fan in Toronto, we were the second sports radio station in the country. Mm. Now there's, I think, 8 or 9, something
right.
like that. But we were actually the second ones here in Ottawa. And I was the very first person to utter a word. I hosted at that point the afternoon show with, I don't know if you would remember Mark Hebscher or you've heard his name.
Sure. Yes, guy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, exactly.
Working with Taddy there on Sports Headlines.
Jim Taddy was Yes Guy.
Yes.
Mark Hebscher was the other guy.
Yeah, on Sportsline there with him.
Yes, exactly. So so Hebsy co-hosted. He actually wasn't in Ottawa. That was some, technology has done a lot of amazing things and how we're able to broadcast now. But back then, it was a lot of wires plugged into a lot of weird places to get him be able to do his show from home. And half the time it didn't work. So I'd be doing the show by myself or he'd come halfway. And it was just it was a disaster, quite frankly. But it was... If you want to talk about learning on the fly to be a talk show host, which I had never done before,
right?
That was trial by fire. But I started with Hebsy, and then that was the first. Yeah, so I kicked off the station, and I'll always remember it was September 9th, 1998, and the night before, so that was like, I don't know what it was, a Wednesday afternoon or something. We kicked it off in the afternoon, but the night before, Mark McGuire had broken the home run record.
Oh, wow.
So 98 was the summer of McGuire versus Sosa, like baseball. That was the biggest story in years.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had broken the home run record the night before. So I remember just going on the air, just saying, "Oh, seems like a great time to kick off a new radio station."
Seriously, yeah.
With that happening, so that's where it all started. And gosh, I worked the afternoon show. Then I worked. Then I moved to the morning show. Was one of the co-hosts. Then I hosted the midday show. Then it was back to the morning show. Then the lockout happened in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told you, if you have a week, I could go through all of this.
Oh, this is great.
2004 was the year there was no hockey. And at that point, Dean Brown, Gord Wilson, who were then the Sens broadcasters and still are to this day, 28 years later, believe it or not, they didn't have anything to do. And they needed to make some money. So at that point, the program director of what was then known as Bob FM on in Ottawa, which is a music station, which is now a country station, pure country, said, we just fired the morning show host. Would you like to do... Would you like to host the morning show on a music station?
Right.
With Sandy Sharkey. And that enabled whoever who was doing the afternoon show, who I don't remember, on what was then now Team 1200.
Right.
To move to the morning show to replace me and allow Dean and Gord to go into the afternoon show and gave them something to do for a full year. Mm-hmm. And then I got punted over to do the music for, well, it was supposed to be however long the lockout lasted. That was 2004. I was there till 2009. So, but
so you were locked out a lot longer.
Well, no, not really, because there was no hockey for a year.
Yeah.
So, but then it came back obviously the next year, and at that point, the then program director of Team 1200 said, "What would you think about coming back and doing the afternoon show?"
Okay.
And I said, "Well, I already have a gig. I'm doing the morning show." And he goes, "Well, why don't you do?" Why don't you do that too? I said, so I for 3 years, I did two shows. I did the morning show on music radio on Bob FM. And then I would go home and I would sleep. And then I would get up and we would do the, so Gary Galley, who's of course on Hockey Night in Canada now, was my co-host.
More on sports. And,
yeah, more on sports. There you go. God, that. Taking me back now. Anyway, Gary and I would do the show from our, we have a studio in the Canadian Tire Center in the basement, just outside the Sens dressing room.
Right.
It's basically this cinder block box with no windows. It's pretty soulless, to be honest with you, but it's a place. But it was close to my house because I live in Kanata and I didn't want to drive back downtown again twice a day. Right. So I would literally wake up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, scratch out some notes, drive to the Canadian Tire Center, for a 3 o'clock start to the show. Literally the musical intro would come on. I would be there by myself because Gary would always arrive as I started talking, like every single time. Sometimes it was 30 seconds too late or just after I'd started, but always within like a 30 to 45 second window. And some days to be like, I was a zombie, right? You're like, that's, I know that some people think that doing radio is pretty easy and some days it is.
Sure.
But there's a lot of days when you got to do a lot of heavy lifting and there's just not as much to talk about. So I had to do two shows. So there were some days when I just didn't, especially in a talk show in the afternoon, right? You can kind of wing a music show a little bit because you don't have to talk for as long.
Yeah.
When you're talking for 15 or 20 minutes at a time straight, trying to make formulate sentences and make lucid thoughts and give people things to think about and all that other stuff. Some days you have it more so than others. And still to this day, same thing. Luckily for me, Gary can talk like no, Gary can talk like nobody's business. He's a great guy. He's got great stories. Like he's everything you'd want in a co-host. And literally there'd be some days when I'd, just before I opened up the microphone and said, Gary, I just don't have it today. He goes, no problem. I got it for you. So I just kind of fire the odd thing and he'd go on for like 3 or 4 minutes with this great story. And I'd be trying to stay awake. I was laughing, but I would be trying to stay awake and I'd be probably weaving half the time trying to, I couldn't keep my eyes open, but somehow I did that for 3 years and I'm not exactly sure how, but I worked both shows. What maybe helped was the fact that unlike today, the Senators were really good back then.
Yeah.
So they gave us lots to talk about, right? That was a team that, well, should have won a Stanley Cup at some point. Those were that 05 to, 06, 06, 07. They obviously went to the final. And even the 08 team started off spectacularly and then just went crashing down to earth under John Paddock. But it was a great team to cover. There was tons to talk about. They were always competitive. The only thing is that long playoff run meant I had to work on weekends as well. The year they went to the final. So anyway, long story long, that was 3 years of that. And then I don't know what happened. Stuntman Stu, who now is on what is now known as Move 100.
Yep.
People are having trouble probably keeping all this straight.
It's been a few changes of names. Yeah.
Yeah. He was actually hosting the morning show on the sports station, even though he's a huge sports fan, but doesn't necessarily know I don't want to give him short shrift here. You know, he knows sports, but he's not a total sports
geek. Not a nerd for it or doesn't envelop
exactly.
his life. Yeah.
And I think at some point they kind of looked at it and went, hang on, we got a sports guy that's hosting on the music station and a music guy that's hosting on the sports station.
Yeah.
So at one point in 2008 or 9, I don't even remember now, they had a big so-called news conference and we were traded for each other. So I was traded back to, that was still Team 1200 then, and Stu went to Bob FM. And so I have been hosting the morning show through Team 1200 and now TSN 1200 since whatever it's been, let's say 2009, I guess, to 2021. So it's at 12 years.
Yeah.
I've done it. So there you go. There's a long story long about my long and winding road.
Do you ever get used to the morning thing? I've talked to a few different guys who say there's no chance. You just never get used to it. Others that said you kind of can. I can't imagine keeping those hours, especially in the sports world, where you have to be up until at least 9:30 or 10 on a good week when they're at home on the East Coast or whatever, and then be up and friendly and talking again at the hours that you keep for a morning show. Have you gotten used to it, or is it always kind of, do the mornings always just like 4:30 or whatever you got to be getting up? It just seems grisly.
4:17.
Good
4:17.
Lord.
Yeah, 4:17, because it reminds me of the highway I have to take every day, every week, every day to get to work. You ever get used to it? Yes and no. I just call it, I tell people I'm just in a perpetual state of fatigue. Like I'm just always tired. And the key is I have a nap every day, which makes me sound like I'm 100. But it is, and your nap should never be too long. Never more than 75 minutes tops.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you'd be trying to just pile 3 hours up if you could get it.
No, because if you do, you can't get back to sleep.
Yeah.
Or you just feel awful when you wake up if you have too long a nap. Mm-hmm. It might work on the weekend for you, but it doesn't work during the week. So I just try and get a nap, a reasonably length of a nap. And I'll do it like some days I'm stuck at work till, you know, mid afternoon. By the time I get home, like I'll even go to sleep at like 4:30 in the afternoon and get up at like 5:45 or whatever.
Right.
And, come down and have dinner or whatever. And, but, do you get used to it? I'll say yes and no. Like I love my job. Who wouldn't want to, you know, have a job talking about sports? I love the fact of working in the morning. You're kind of getting everybody up to speed on what happened the night before. So it's like you get to, you know, kind of break the news of the day. Yep. And you get to break it down before everybody else does. Like, you know, by the time when I did the afternoon show, some of the topics from the night before would feel talked out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, everybody's been talking about it all day. So how can we flip this topic on its ear? And you know, becomes a little more work in the morning. It's kind of like it's just laid there for you, right? It's there, and you can kind of take it. It's virgin topics, so you can kind of take them any way you want.
Do you have a line, like if the Sens are out west, do you just kind of have to go and do you just eat it and know I'm not getting to bed till midnight, or do you check out and just hit the highlights in the morning or something? Like do you have a line where I have to be in bed at this point if I'm going to see the morning?
No, I've stayed up to the end of 10 o'clock games before many times, which, you know, puts you at 12:30. So I'm at about 3.5 hours on some days. Now, you know, like the games the Sens have played, like they played a pile of 10 o'clock games during the last week or two, you know, and some of them when they're like the game the other night that was 8-3 or whatever. Well, actually, you know what? That game started at 9. So I actually stayed up for the, because that was 11:30. But the games that start at 10, if they're getting blown out, I don't watch the third period because to be honest with you, like, you know, I like to be right up to speed on, because we're not just talking about, you know, who scored the goals,
no.
Right? You're breaking down what happened in the game or, you know, it's kind of bigger picture stuff. It's not microscopic.
Sure.
You know, what happened at 6:16 of the second period. You're picking out every game you talk about is down to, it's probably 2 or 3 moments in a game. So as long as you know what those moments are, what those big things are that people are talking about. Or
the storyline's coming out of it.
Yeah. Exactly. As long as you've got that. But on a blowout game, nothing's going to happen in the third period that, you know, I'll come in the morning and Matt Hammer, my producer, will, you know, I'll just say, hey, you know, because he'll go through the 3-minute highlight pack and he'll just say, you know, there was nothing in there. And I'll read up on a bunch of stuff before I leave home in the morning. But by and large, you know, if it's a blowout game and there's nothing going on in the game, I don't feel, I'll watch 2 periods for sure, but not the third.
Back in March, the way a lot of businesses had to operate changed for a lot of people. I want to ask you kind of how you guys have adapted down there. But before we do, how early on or how long before you made the switch to having some of your hosts or most of your hosts working from home, did you know you needed to be looking at that and that this was going to be a possibility or on the table? What did those few days look like where, as someone covering an all, you know, running an all sports radio station, knowing I might be about to run out of sports and I got to get people to set up, you know, to not all be in here together. What did those few days look like?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting. And you know, full credit to our engineering staff at 87 George, because we have four radio stations in there. And to be honest with you, like TSN 1200, we have the fewest amount of people not working offsite. Like most of us are in the building.
Mm-hmm.
So the only person who kind of needed sort of an immediate hookup was Steve Lloyd, who at that point was hosting the midday show in the box.
Right.
You know, Steve has immunocompromised or whatever, and it's just not, it's not healthy for him to be there. And sure. So, but literally the engineering staff, like it was crazy, Matt, like between the two music stations and all the people that they have, because they were trying to, the general manager basically wanted to have as few people in the building as possible. Mm-hmm. So all the office staff, all the sales staff, everybody was sent home to work from home, and they were able to, you know, remote in and do what they needed to do. But it's a whole other thing to be able to get people to be able to broadcast on the radio from home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you had, you know, the morning shows on the music, well, all of the shows on the music stations, all of the people are doing their shows from home. CFRA, all of their main hosts were working from home. But we only had Steve, and I think he was in for the first week, because, you know, it was kind of, there was a bit of a ramp up, right? Yeah. Like when the Sen season went on pause, it wasn't like, at that point, it was like, I think most of us thought, well, this will be a couple of weeks or 3 weeks.
We still laugh about right. that on this show, yeah. talking to my co-host Rob. And I said, they may have to shut this down for a bit. And he tore me a new one. This is so alarmist. This is nothing. It's going to, and even me, the alarmist, thought, yeah, 3 weeks, things will be back yes. to normal. Right.
yeah, exactly. So at that time, I mean, see, hard, it's 11 months later, right. To think of, yes. Of where we're at right now. But at that time, you didn't worry about, you know, we weren't wearing masks. We weren't,
no.
We were just, you know, being careful and whatever. And so it didn't seem like it was going to be, so they had some time to kind of get everybody hooked up, but they did a fantastic job. Like it's unbelievable to, you know, where all of broadcasting is at right now. Like you've got, you know, television and radio broadcasters doing national games mm-hmm. from their basement. Like it's amazing. Like I'm a huge fan of Kevin Harlan.
Yeah.
Who does TV, radio, he does college sports, he does, you know, NFL, NBA, one night after another. I watched his daughter took a video of his setup where he is
yeah.
now. He does it all out of his basement.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like it's amazing. It's changed broadcasting. Well, it changed broadcasting forever, what we've been forced to adapt to.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that will come out of this, when and if things return to normal, is we're not going to see, and it's not necessarily the greatest thing, but we're not going to see broadcasters traveling to nearly as many things anymore. It's just not, at the end of the day, it's not cost effective. And,
right.
and they have been able to do probably 90% of as good a job, but and they can do it from home. I mean, you don't get, you know, and Dean and Gord have talked about this, they're not traveling with the team this year. You know, you miss the time that, you know, where you pick up the stories, where you run into the guy, you know, a guy from the team in the lobby or in the elevator, and you might get a little nugget that you use sure. on the air or whatever. That's the stuff that's going to be lost. And so your broadcast is not necessarily going to be as good, but I think, you know, the bean counters at the end of the day control a lot as well. And they're going to look at this from a cost benefit analysis, and they're going to go, yeah, I don't know if we're going to have, you know, broadcasters necessarily traveling, because we've been able to adapt. And I think the other thing is people that watch and listen, you know, and have watched kind of broadcasters kind of pull it all together. And I think in a pretty good way, they're willing to, you know, we don't need perfection in terms of our broadcasts anymore. We have people being on SportsCenter or whatever that are, you know, doing interviews, talking into a computer, and it's not the color, you know, like the, you know, it's dark or bright or, and the sound isn't great. And you know what? It's content. And at the end of the day, people care what people are saying. They don't care necessarily as much as we thought about what they look like.
Yeah. How it's lit and how it's marked.
Yeah.
No, you're right about that for sure. It's been fascinating to watch some of the changes and what's worked and what hasn't. And I think you're so right. You know, you and I are kind of nerds for the broadcast side of things, but in so many businesses, I wonder, you know, how many companies decide I do not need this office building in a downtown core when we have found out how much our employees can do from home. And I think, you know, this pandemic has probably changed the way a lot of businesses are going to do things moving forward.
Yeah. I think I will say, though, on the flip side, and I don't think it's just like our type of work. I think there's a lot of work, though, that like ours is a creative business. And I do think that something is lost in any kind of creative business where people can't look at each other. Can't get into a room after, you know, if you're having a business meeting and you're trying to come up with a marketing plan or whatever, and everybody's sitting around a boardroom table and people are just shooting the breeze and somebody comes up with a great idea. Like, you can do stuff over Zoom or you can do stuff on a conference call, but it's not the same as being there in person. And I do think, you know, that would be my cautionary tale as to the, well, everybody can just work remotely and nothing will be affected. I think that human interaction will be missed for those companies that choose to do that.
No, I do agree with that as well. There's a give and a take there. And like you said, the bean counters are going to have a say. But even in our little show, like Rob and I normally, you know, for years did this in person. And even now that this tiny little half a millisecond delay, like we're using software that eliminates most of it. But it's not quite the same, right? I can see if he's gearing up to go somewhere, if he's sitting across the table and you give him that room to do it or vice versa. Or, you know, I set him up for something, but he's not in the room, so I can't see that he's taking a drink of his beer in that moment. And so there's going to be dead air that I'm leaving hanging there. And
right.
There's just little moments, right, that you just can't. It's not quite the same as being in the same room.
Yeah, for sure. But you know what? That is part of the give and take as we sort of enter our brave new world here.
Yeah. Was there any sort of panic? Is overstating it, but I'll use it when, you know, forget the technical side of it. But just what the heck are we going to talk about here for the next however long? And we went a few weeks with very little happening. There was that few days in a row where the NBA shut down and then March Madness was canceled and the NHL wasn't far behind. Baseball gets postponed. And man, I think maybe the UFC was one of the first things back up and running. You know, was there any sort of, what did that look like to sit down and plan out, here's how we're going to handle this? Or was it kind of show by show, or did you kind of have a station wide plan on what you wanted to do?
Every man for himself.
Yeah.
lifeboats. Yeah. Like, to be honest with you, to think back now that we have some sports again, those, and it wasn't a few weeks. It was middle of March till, I mean, golf kind of started again in June, but I mean, we'll talk a little bit of golf, but I mean, that's not something that, you know, people want to hear hours and hours and hours to talk about. Like, it was really, you know, it was probably until the middle of July, right, that we started, and then all of a sudden everything came on at the end of July, and it was like this smorgasbord. But for whatever that was, middle of March till middle of July, is that 4 months or something like that? That was, yeah. Well, I tell people I've never worked harder in my life, like to come up with content to fill 4 hours every day when you don't have just, you know, I mean, there are days when when everything is normal, there are days when you've got just this unbelievable smorgasbord of stuff, too much.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, I wish I was able to save some of this for another day when it's, and you'll have some days when it's really, you know, you gotta kind of make up some stuff, right? You gotta stir the pot and make up some topics or whatever. But there was like zero, like it was, everything was about, well, what, it was all about what might happen, right? Well, this sport might come back, that sport might come back. I mean, Simmer, my co-host, he's got a great Rolodex. I mean, we got a lot of great guests. He kind of emptied his Rolodex out. So we had some, we did some extra phone calls. You know, we did some more kind of daily topics, this day in sports history and stuff like that. And, you know, rediscovered some old audio that way. We, for a while there, we were playing some, you know, it's not like we're very original in this, but we replayed some classic Sens games in the evening. Yeah. So we had some Sens players that had played in those games. Ian Mendez, you know, was great on getting guys on who were, you know, back from the, you know, late 90s or early 2000s players who were on the team. So it was kind of great. And we kind of, if we had a, you know, game four from whatever series it was, and whoever the big star of the show, you know, was on. So we kind of set that up during the day, and it kind of built toward this broadcast at 6 o'clock at night. So we kind of built stuff around stuff that was, you know, that we had made out, you know, but that's what we did to kind of, and I think back to it now, and I'm sitting, knock on wood, at my table I'm sitting at right now, that I don't have to go through that again, because that was as professionally challenging as anything I've ever gone through in my life.
A couple of things maybe off of, you know, the less current stuff, I guess. What would be, since you've been working in the business up there, what was the most fun thing that you've had to cover? And the Sens have had a couple of deep playoff runs. It was the conference final back in 2017, the cup final in 2007. But I even wonder about stuff like the Hamburglar run, where it kind of came out of nowhere and caught the city. Do you have kind of a couple that stand out to you that maybe people wouldn't think of necessarily that were big for you in terms of that? This has been a lot of fun to cover or be a part of.
Oh. Well, I would say, and you mentioned, you know, obviously, you know, three of the good ones right off the top of my
head.
Sorry about that. But that's okay. I would actually say maybe the most fun was actually the first lengthy run they went on, which was the Sens I'm talking about, in 2003 when they went to the conference final. They ended up getting beat out in Game 7 by New Jersey, but
didn't have to face the Leafs that year.
No. Yes, exactly. Yeah. There was an upside.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was a year Steve Warren, my old co-host, wrote a song called All the Leafs Stink. Or was that year? Or was that another year? Oh, it was one of the years. Anyway, he wrote that song. We ended up singing it at they used to open up the Canadian Tire Center then, and fans would go to the games and actually watch games on the big screen.
Right.
Right. And so there's like 10,000 fans, and we were on stage in the intermission singing this All the Leafs Stink song. I felt like a rock star. It was pretty cool. And it was only like two stanzas long, and I was trying to remember the words. And
sure.
Anyway, there was that. But we went down to, I remember, so that was the year that Chris Phillips scored game six in overtime to send it back to Ottawa for game seven. This is a conference final. And at that point, if you were a Senator fan, you know, you thought if you got through New Jersey, you're probably going to win the Stanley Cup that year. And so
just the lowly Anaheim Ducks waiting on the other side.
Exactly. But we actually took a bunch of listeners in a Winnebago down to game three or game four. One of the games down in New Jersey. Molson Canadian gave us they had a Winnebago back then. And we had, I think, 10 guys, something like that. It was a station contest. Steve and I went, we had a guy from Molson drove. We went down on the Friday. It was a Saturday afternoon game. We left on the Friday. We got down, we stayed in Hoboken, which is, not that far from the rink. Mm-hmm. Ike Molson at that point, you know, it was like people used to spend money like crazy on marketing and stuff, right? They took care of the whole shot. We just got absolutely just blasted with all these listeners on the Friday night at this hotel. And it's like, I remember waking up the next morning and Steve and I were in the same room. And, I got up and I was hungover and I said, I'm going into New York. And how many times you get to New York and it's on somebody else's tab and he goes, I gotta stay asleep. So I got on the ferry and went over to New York and I was walking around New York for a while. Anyway, I just remember we went back for the game, which was, I think, in a late afternoon for some reason. And the Sens ended up losing the game. And I just remember there's a guy behind us who was just a really scary looking New Jersey mafia kind of guy. He was a big Devils fan. We got there, you know, it was like 10 people from Ottawa and they're obviously cheering for Ottawa. And this guy looked like, you know, every time that, the Sens scored or did something good and people cheered, he looked like he actually literally was going to kill somebody, right?
Put a hit out on you.
Yeah, exactly. It was a very uncomfortable.
Running the Winnebago off the road on the way home.
Yeah. Anyway, they end up losing the game. And I remember thinking to myself, it was so much fun driving down there. It was so much fun, the party that night. It was fun for me to go over to New York. The game they ended up losing. And then I remember closing the door to the Winnebago and going, oh my God, it's an 8-hour drive back in a Winnebago with a bunch of hungover guys who are all farting, throwing up.
And we lost.
Yeah. I would just like to snap my fingers and be back in Ottawa. So, yeah. So that's an experience all I remember. That was off the top of my head. That's one of the more fun experiences I've had.
That's a pretty cool one. The stuff, like you say, back in the day, you'd never get away with stuff like that now, right? Like of the stuff that they'd spend money on was pretty cool. I wonder, you'd probably be on the front lines of this sort of thing in terms of putting some of these deals together, but even in terms of coverage, I wonder what you find to be, whether it be both benefits and challenges of being kind of the one sports station in town that in a lot of senses is a one team town. And we love the Red Blacks and the 67s and these sorts of, but in terms of the big four, North American sports, the Senators are it. And trying to find that balance between being critical in your coverage and giving the fans, you know, your honest opinions on things, but also knowing that, you know, you kind of need the team still to cooperate with you. They need you to get their word out. You know, what are sort of some of the complications or challenges that can come with that in your mind?
That's a great question. And that's something that there's always, I don't call it a delicate balance. This is the way I look at it myself. And this is what I kind of tell the guys is that TSN 1200 has a partnership, a broadcasting partnership with the Ottawa Senators. We broadcast the games, we get more access in terms of the players and the coach and that sort of thing than anyone else does. We're invited to, participate in contests to give away tickets to games, et cetera, as part of that partnership. So, TSN 1200, the radio station, has a partnership with the Ottawa Senators. Each of the people that is on the air while you work for TSN 1200, I look at this is how I kind of rationalize it with myself, is that I am an independent contractor. Okay. So, I work for TSN 1200, yes. And I realize within that, I'm supposed to be a professional broadcaster. So, we get criticized by a lot of people that think you're on the radio is like being on Twitter and you can just be anonymous and say whatever you want. Right. And there are no ramifications and things like, slander don't exist and things like that. And why don't you say this about this guy? And it's kind of like, Are you being serious right now?
Then a week later, why don't you have this guy on? Well, because you had me trash him last week.
So, there's a fine line to be walked there, and so that's the way. Just in terms of how I look at it, I try to be professional in all things as best I can. I mean, I'll try to look at, and none of us have ever played, in the case of the Sens, none of us ever played in the NHL, so. Mm-hmm. I kind of look at it and with my criticism, I'll look at it this way. If I am, I try to be, when criticism is warranted, I'll be critical. But when praise is warranted, I think you have to give praise as well. I mean, mm-hmm. It can't be a one-way street. And I think people are, some people, I shouldn't say all, some people are very, as soon as you praise anything or anybody, it's automatically, you're in bed with the team.
Sure.
You're that's where your bread's buttered. You won't get any access if you don't say good things about the team. I've never, ever felt that way. It's just what I live by is that I think, I think and I don't cover the team on a daily basis. It's a little bit easier for me from my ivory tower on the radio at 87 George Street to be critical of guys because I don't have to go into the dressing room and face them, mm-hmm. but I try to be mindful of that if, am I comfortable with what I'm saying on the radio right now, if I were to be in the dressing room and have to go up and look that guy in the eye, would I feel comfortable with that?
Right.
So that's when that's how I kind of, as far as the extent of which I'll go with criticism, understanding that, it should be a two-way street.
A couple fun ones here, just as we wind this down. You guys have a segment on your show, have for as long as I've been listening, called the 61-second shootout.
Yes, on hiatus these days, but yeah. Yes.
Okay, yes. So for people who haven't heard it, it's like a lot of radio trivia questions, but you call in, you have 61 seconds to answer as many questions correctly as you can. And if you fail,
you got to get to seven.
Right.
Seven. Yeah.
And if you fail, you have to give out either the place where you work or your last name so that, of course, you can be mocked. And yes, there is, an oath, or I can't remember what you call it.
The oath of incompetence.
Yes.
Yes.
The whole thing is beautiful. But I wonder, because I've had this conversation with several friends before, how many times, and can you tell when you're going through this with whoever's called in that day, this guy probably knows, but he's just too nervous, right? Because all of us, most of the time, I find I crush it when I'm standing there in my living room in the morning or in the car or whatever. No pressure. Nobody can hear you. How much do you find the psychological effect of being on the radio does weigh into it? And can you tell when it's happening that, oh, this guy knows, he's just melting down?
Yeah, you know what? It's not. It's funny you say it's not the pressure of being on the radio, because I think people after a while, you know, they've got a phone in their ear, right? So sure. It's just like you're just talking to somebody. You know what it is? It's when the clock starts.
Right. Okay.
Tick 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 tick. There's nothing more. There's nothing that gets in your head faster than a ticking clock.
Yeah.
And you can hear that clock go. And if you don't get the first answer right away, like if you either. And that's why I've always tried to give a layup question as the first one to try to ease people into it, because believe it or not, I do want people to win.
Yeah.
We have the prize to give away. I would actually like you to win. So I'm going to sort of lay out the red carpet as best I can and warm you up for it. But if someone fails on a layup, it's like, you know, it's crash and burn. Absolutely. I will know within 10 seconds probably of the person. We had a few rallies over the years, but by and large, if you don't have one right in the first 10 or 15 seconds, you're going down in flames.
It is. It's so much fun to listen to because it's such a simple concept, but you can just hear like people tripping over their own and we're all yelling at our radio like, buddy, come on, you're circling around it, right? Like,
yeah,
right there.
Exactly.
One of the other ones I wanted to ask you here was we've recently, through the pandemic, we've added somebody to our roster over here at TCA and Michaela Schreider, but she's been on TSN 1200 quite a bit over the last few years, including this week. If people 10 to 2 again on Wednesday, if people are listening before that, you can hear with AJ Jackie Beck. Would you care, and we told her that that we were going to ask you this, would you care to give her TSN 1200 performance review here on the show right now?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Are you going to ask me the questions or you just want me to give
no,
her
right I, no, you was getting across you're the table? You're the expert on this stuff. Yeah.
No, no. Listen, I've been completely impressed by how much she's sorry about that. by how much she's grown as a broadcaster. And I think, and I'd have to ask her this, but I think it's just, and I say this about everybody, the more you do broadcasting, the better you get at it. Yeah. It's just, it is a business of repetition. And I'm not saying that everybody is going to be great at it. Everybody will improve. But some people will get to a certain level and then that will be it. And they just aren't able to get beyond that.
Sure.
And then some people will just continue to grow and grow and grow. And I think what's happened with Michaela is that through being on your show, being, you know, she had a weekly show on the station before the pandemic and mm-hmm. now doing some fill in again is she has grown to be very comfortable in her own shoes and she's comfortable in giving out her opinion on things, and she's comfortable and she's confident. She's confident in what she says, and I can tell by listening to people when they're saying things because they think they're filling airtime, and they're saying things they think they should say, and then there are people who are saying things because they know what they're saying.
Right.
If that makes any sense, and she has crossed from. Not that I ever felt that she was but for someone who doesn't really have a big background in the business, she works in communication, so she certainly understands it.
Right.
She has grown into someone who is just very confident in what she's saying. And because, you know, at the end of the day, talk radio is about opinions. And
sure.
opinions aren't right or wrong. There are misinformed opinions. I tell people there that disagree with me, their opinions are misinformed all the time. but they aren't right or wrong, right? So it's like, you know, just have an opinion. Hopefully you have a basis of debate for that. And just be confident that what you believe in, and be consistent. That's the other thing. Be consistent in your opinions as well, right? You can't argue one side on a given topic one day, and then the next day argue the other side, because people listen to it and go, oh, this guy's just a BSer. He's just making it up as he goes. So I try to be consistent, but she's just very confident sounding. I think she's got a really, really bright future in the business, and I know she's keen about it. And so, we're just working away, and some opportunities will go her way. I'm sure of that.
Well, I may cut all this out. This I was going to open a drift for a living. No, you're right, and she's been a ton of fun to have on here. Brought some different perspective as well and stuff. So,
well, you know what, and that's the other thing I enjoy about having her on is that I don't want our radio station to be a bunch of people who all sound the same.
Right.
If that makes sense. And I'm not just talking about the tenor of your voice.
Sure.
I'm just talking about who come at every topic from the same place and have the same opinions. And we want to reflect the community at large. And obviously, women are big sports fans. 40% of people who go to games are women. Mm-hmm. We don't think of that. We think it's a guy's domain. It's really not at all. And it's only now in the last few years that women have really got the opportunity to really flourish, in the media business in terms of sports. I mean, I look at, Mina Kimes, right, from ESPN. Like, she's amazing.
She is
one of my absolute favorite people to watch break down football.
Yeah.
Like, 5 years ago, she would have never been given the opportunity to do that, and nor would she be given credit. Like, most people would have, it's a woman talking about football. What does she know?
Right.
And click and turn it off. And now you look at it and go, she knows way more than I do about football. And breaking down football, and not just about who's married to who, right?
Sure. Like, no, exactly.
Getting legit opinions, and I think it's awesome, because I think what's happening is that different people are giving different perspectives. They're speaking to more people, and what we're trying to do at the end of the day is grow our piece of the pie in sports and sports talk and in the sports business. We want, and to do that, we have to kind of reflect our potential listeners. We just can't be old angry white guys.
No,
one after another. that doesn't work anymore. Like the world has changed.
No, and you're so right. I think one of the ones who stands out to me, and maybe it seems a little obvious, but it's Cassie Campbell, who during the pandemic they reran a pile of classic games like you guys did, and one was there was a game where Matt Sundin scored his 500th career goal. It was against the Flames, short, and it's Bob Cole and Cassie Campbell. And it's her, I'm pretty sure, her first ever game doing color. And you can tell she knows absolutely what she wants to say and what she's talking, but she's still a little nervous, right? She's not quite comfortable on the mic yet. But you got to give those people the opportunity. And now, when they started dropping her into the panel, and she's terrific there every Saturday night now, and she still does some color games, and she's far more assertive because she's more comfortable. But you have to create those opportunities, right, and give people time to grow. You could tell all along, she's an Olympic-caliber hockey player. She knows what she's talking about. She might just not be comfortable on the mic yet, and with a little time, she got there. Now it's opened up this door where you're seeing Tessa Bonhomme host on TSN and Cheryl Pounder and so many other, women that somebody's got to go first, right, and be given the chance. And, you'd kind of grow into it a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, and it really, I found in the past, probably in the past, even the past year, right? And maybe it's been as a result of the pandemic that the people that run television stations and to a lesser extent radio stations have just kind of said, it's time. It's time. A lot of things, whether it's, Black Lives Matter last summer, whether that opened a lot of people's minds to things. Like, it's just like people have, there's a certain segment of the population that will never have their minds opened.
Right.
But I think for a lot of other people, it's like, it's just, we gotta rethink everything that we do here. We gotta rethink all parts of our business. We gotta think of how we do the things we do and be open to new ideas.
Yep. No, you're completely right about that. We find a way to be more inviting, more inclusive, more, and the way that people smarter than me keep putting it is, I guess, that if you can be it, if you can see it, you can be it kind of thing. So, once these people start getting their chances and popping up, it drives it more and more and more, and we'll see more and more people striving to those positions. So
for sure.
You said yourself, this is at times a repetitive business. I hope you'll repeat this again, maybe down the road with us a little bit when things open back up. You can come in studio and maybe have a pint with us there.
Hopefully I'll finish my verdict by 555 Brewery by then, because yeah. I don't know how long these things last, but I think by February 8th, it'll be gone. So yeah, absolutely. Love the, love spending some time with you. It's been, well, I haven't gone through my career resume in a long, long time, as I was long-windedly giving that out. I actually have done a lot of things over the years.
For sure.
Some of them well, some of them not so well, but it's been a fun journey.
Well, we would love to have you in studio when that's something that we're allowed to do, and we'll have a pint and maybe dive a little deeper on the time in Tilsonburg or something like that.
Yeah, that's all. If I have to think long and hard enough about it, there's probably some stories from there too.
No
there
doubt.
Was the first nighttime. Anyway, I don't need to get into that. So. Oh, yeah. I got stories. Believe me.
Michaela returns on Friday morning from her stint with TSN 1200. I like to say we sent her down to you guys. We will recall her to the big club on Friday
morning.
Down
to the minors. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting her reps in.
Exactly. So listeners can look forward to that Friday morning. In the meantime, JR, thank you so much for doing this. You're someone I've wanted to have on for a while, and really glad you made a little time for us today.
My pleasure, Matt. Good to be with you.
We are on Twitter and Instagram at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio, and I hope wherever you're listening to this one, you'll hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. We are on Google Pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all these places, anywhere that you find your audio, we are there. Hope you will subscribe and join us as we go. Like I said, Michaela returns on Friday. Rob will be back on Monday. We have more great guests to come, so stay tuned for that as well. In the meantime, my name is Matt Robinson, and we will catch you all down the road.
It is over!
Now that's a tasty beverage.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.